Welcome to the weekend and welcome to The Barbecue Show with Steve Ray. The Barbecue Show is brought to you by the Alistair's Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop in Ottawa, by the historic Midnight Oil Service Station in Ottawa, by Michelin Tires, because so much is riding on your time, and by all the great barbecue products and supplies at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop. I know you've got questions, and we've got answers, so pick up the phone, 423-267-1023, and let's talk some barbecue.
Hey, good Friday evening, everybody, here in Chattanooga. This is Steve Ray with Jeff Maxwell, and you're listening to the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live here on Talk Radio 102.3. Our number is 267-1023, 267-1023. We'll be taking your barbecue questions. This is, you know, this is our the backyard cooker guy. This is our Super Bowl now. We don't want to screw up this weekend, all right? This is the weekend we were born for. This is it. This is time to put on the dog, and we got a guy coming up in just a few minutes who will help you. If you have any questions, you're not going to believe who we have on, but we're going to be introducing him in just a second. Our number is 267-1023. Everybody outside of the local dialing area, just dial 423-267-1023. We're in touch, so you get in touch as well. You can follow Owl's Nest Barbecue on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and don't forget all of these broadcasts are turned into podcasts the next morning, and you can find them wherever you get your podcast information. The What's New at the Store, Steve, segment is brought to you by Grill Grates, aluminum grates that go directly on your old grates, and they will make your steaks tastier and easier to cook. Plus, they make grilling chicken wings at high heat a snap without all the flare-up. We have a size to fit your grill. Grill Grates, they really work. Hey, mark your calendar for June 26th at noon. It's the 6th anniversary of the Hoptown Beer Bar in Cambridge Square, right here in Ottawa. Owner Ryan Hargrave has invited yours truly and the Owl's Nest Barbecue team to do a pig roast, and we are looking forward to that event for sure. The 150-pound whole hog has been ordered, and we'll be there providing whole hog barbecue with sides and drinks. That's June 26th. Mark your calendar. We'll be talking more about it all month. June 26th at the Hoptown Beer Bar in Cambridge Square here in Ottawa. That new shipment of Myron Mixon barbecue sauce arrived Wednesday, so we are fully stocked on Myron's products after his recent world championship win at Memphis in May. And if you are a Suckle Busters rub and sauce fan, we have the complete line and all of the great products from Suckle Busters available at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop in Ottawa. Now, our guest coming up, this man, before Wednesday was legendary, and the legend only grew and grew and grew. In 2016, Meathead reached over 15 million people with respectable barbecue and grilling information through his AmazingRibs.com website, making it one of the most popular barbecue and grilling resources. His book, Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling, released in 2016, made the New York Times bestseller list, along with the top 10 list at Amazon, BBC, Chicago Tribune, Wired, and Epicurious. His website, AmazingRibs.com, has been nominated for an IACP award and a digital media award. Meathead first learned to grill from his father, a food technologist, and would often work at the grill at his family restaurant. I did not know that, in Oleander. He would later venture into barbecue in college and at the University of Florida in Gainesville, learning on an in-ground pit in a cinder block pit. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you
Rachel Ray.
Meathead Goldwyn, Chattanooga. Meathead, welcome to the show.
Rachel Ray.
Yeah, I know. Now, that's on the Facebook side. Now, remember, we're on radio, too, okay? So the people on radio can't see.
I just showed a picture of me with Rachel Ray. So.
Well, I figured I'd try to class up the broadcast a little bit.
It's good to be back on Owl's Nest. Thank you very much. And that was quite an introduction. I'm pretty flattered and pleased to have made the Barbecue Hall of Fame. There's a only about 40 members, only about 25 living.
I know.
And my induction class includes the one and only Arthur Bryant. And now if anybody knows anything about barbecue, they know that Arthur Bryant's in Kansas City is revered around the world as one of the great barbecue restaurants. In fact, author, I'll think of his name, called it the greatest barbecue restaurant in the world. His greatest competitor is Gates Barbecue, which is just across town. And Ollie Gates is going in with me.
How can we help you?
I'm going in with two brilliant restaurateurs from Kansas City, not to mention Mr. Scott.
Rodney Scott, yes.
Yes, from Charleston, who just came out with a book, and he is renowned as a whole hog cooker. Nobody knows whole hog better than Rodney Scott. So it's it's a really interesting class.
And there was one more. There was a lady that went in. Lytle Cabanis.
Not well known, but yep. Her name is Lytle.
Lytle. I think it's pronounced Lytle.
I think it's Lytle. Lytle Bridges Cabanis. She's mm-hmm. been gone for a while. But she inherited her husband's barbecue joint in Shelby, North Carolina, Bridges, which I'm not familiar with, but I hear is very popular. And she ran it until she died, and then her daughter took over, and I think there's a daughter of the daughter running it now. So I think it's third-generation woman running this popular, famous North Carolina barbecue joint. So quite five people going in, and you know, you look at that picture and you say, yeah, there's one guy that doesn't belong in there, and that would be me.
No, not at all.
Nothing further from the truth.
Hey, our number is 267-1023 if you want to get in, get on that phone and give Meathead a call if you have a question about this weekend's barbecue, your Memorial Day barbecue. You've got one of the most prolific food technicians in the world joining us tonight. And Meathead, we can't tell you how pleased we are that you made time for us tonight here on the show. What's it like sitting there when they were announcing the winners, for lack of a better word? What's it like
you
sitting
know,
there?
Like the Hollywood movie stars at the Oscars, I'd like to say I was shocked and thrilled and surprised, but I'm Susan Lucci. I was nominated 2 years in a row and didn't get in. This year I looked at the competition, and it was a very good class of nominees. There were 9 people nominated, and any number of the others. I mean, Joe Traeger was nominated, the guy that invented pellet smokers.
I know.
For crying out loud, how come he didn't get in and I did? I was a little surprised, but not blown away. I kind of felt my number was due. 3 was the charm. And I've worked hard. I think, you know, comparing my credentials to the others, I was deserving. It was still a great thrill. And the one thing that I'm really excited about, this is the most valuable part of being in the Hall of Fame. I have tried to edit some of the barbecue entries on Wikipedia in the past, and there's been a horde of trolls and young punks who undo my edits. And I try to explain to them that they're wrong, but they know better. And now I think there's a chance I can go into Wikipedia and patch up some of the mistakes there. And when the punks try to undo them or overwrite them, I can say, hey, punk, when you're in the Barbecue Hall of Fame, then you can undo my edits.
Well, that's got to be a great feeling. That's got to be a great feeling. When you join the other 40 people in the world in the Hall of Fame, you can start your own editing.
Mic drop.
Yeah, right, no kidding. Right. No kidding. So pleasantly surprised, pleasantly hopeful. I'm sure you were hopeful.
Well, I'm you know.
From a business standpoint.
I'm 72 years old, so in a way it's the culmination of a long path. I've worked very hard. anybody who is into barbecue has probably at one time or another been to AmazingRibs.com. If you search on things related to barbecue, Google tends to point people there, but if you haven't, you should go there because there's more than 2,000 pages of content, and it's really good content. And I mean, we really work hard on the recipes. We test them on multiple devices. We have the only full-time grill tester in the world. If you're shopping for a grill or a smoker, Max Good has tested hundreds of them, and there's detailed reviews of them. Bill McGrath is an electrical engineer, and he tests thermometers for us. He used to run the electrical engineering department at ExxonMobil. He's got some very specific, specialized equipment we bought for him, so he can test thermometers. So if you're in the hardware store or online shopping for a thermometer, you can see how he rates it. And does it really read in 2 seconds, or is that just hype? And
yeah.
Is it accurate? And he's got that info.
Hey, Meathead, hold on. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to line one. Two lines open. We got Trout, the Trout Man, on line one. Go ahead, Trout.
Trout Man.
You are with Barbecue Hall of Famer Meathead.
I know Trout Man.
Well, not Trout Man, Trout Smoker.
Trout Smoker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's up, Smoker?
Well, I've got 7 freshly caught rainbow trout on my smoker right now.
Oh, I'll be right over.
Wondering, I looked on your website, Amazing Ribs, earlier and didn't see much about it. But first, I'd like to know some kind of process you would go through for smoking a rainbow trout. And second, I'd like to know which end do you like?
Which end of the fish?
Yeah.
Well, belly is the fatty part. And I tend to go to belly, particularly on salmon. The real key to cooking fish, whether you're smoking or grilling, is just don't overcook it. USDA, I forget what they ask for. They want it up around 140. But there's not a restaurant in the world that will cook fish to 140. You don't want to cook it past 125. Maybe 130. I'll take it up to 130. So make sure you got a really good instant read thermometer and stick it in. You got to read the fat end, not the thin end. And try to get it out at 130. Now, what I like to do is I will cut a fillet in half, and for crying out loud, phone keep ringing. I will cut the fillet in half and put the thin end on after the fat end. Like, get the fat end running start, because that thin end will cook pretty darn fast. And don't go too heavy on the smoke. Use a very light flavored wood. Mesquite and some of those heavy woods can really oversmoke them. Go with something like apple or oak. Go with a nice rub. And just don't overcook them. The thing about fish is just get the heck out of the way. You know, it's such an elegant flavor all by itself. I had fish for dinner tonight. I had Pacific cod. It's so easy to get fussy with it. If you go to the great seafood restaurants, they just grill it, broil it, maybe a beurre blanc sauce, but nothing too fancy. Probably just talking to us right now, you're probably overcooking it. You better go out and get it off of there.
I'll take care of it then, Meathead. I sure appreciate the advice.
And you're right about our website. We are a little thin on fish advice, and that's sad because I was raised in Florida. But we'll fix that.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you, Trout Smoker. We're going to take our first break of the evening. You're listening to newly elected Barbecue Hall of Famer Meathead Goldwyn coming to us live on the Butcher Barbecue Hotline from Chicago, Illinois. The Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply is the proud home of all the Butcher Barbecue products. From 2-time barbecue world champion David Bosca, his rub, sauce, and grilling oils turn ordinary barbecue into extraordinary barbecue. Grilling Addiction Rub to the famous Barbecue Mud. Get your Butcher Barbecue products at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ultua. We'll be right back with World Barbecue Hall of Famer Meathead Goldwyn. Stay with us. Excellent. Excellent segment. So glad we had a fish person.
A gentleman in a olive drab green shirt I see every now and then. Is he at the radio station?
Yeah, he's our producer at the radio station. That's Joe Varner, okay. Meathead.
What's his name?
Cowboy Joe Varner.
Cowboy Joe, good to meet you.
Joe and I have worked together about 20 years.
Wow.
We did my car show together back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Right. You're a car guy.
Yeah, I'm a car guy. What a lot of people don't know about me is he's a wine guy. You were the wine editor for the Trib for years, weren't you?
I was a wine critic for the Chicago Tribune, the Washington Post, and syndicated through a whole bunch of publications.
Yeah.
That was a previous life. I decided I switched to solid food in about the year 2000. I'm sitting here with a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. We drink wine with dinner every night, and wine and barbecue are a good combo.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't make you a bad guy.
Well, you know the difference between a wino and a connoisseur, don't you?
One doesn't quit.
$10 a bottle.
I don't know much. I don't drink a lot of wine. I don't know much about wine. You know, I buy about wine like I buy my microphones, Meathead. I go to our local grocery store and I get which one's the most expensive one, and I grab it. But I only buy like 3 bottles a year. But I hear that's not necessarily the truth, though, is it?
No.
Well, there's law of diminishing returns. A $20 bottle is usually better than a $10 bottle, and it's rarely twice as good.
I usually look for that $10 to $12 bottle that tastes like a $20 bottle.
That's the range I'm in. I have a neighborhood wine merchant, and I know a little bit about wine, but, you know, the who's on first changes every year. So I rely heavily on her advice, and I tell her, you know, put together a couple of cases of mixed wines that you think I'll like. She knows my palate, but $15 the limit. If you want to go over 15, you got something really special, fine, check with me first. And she usually throws in 3 or 4, you know, $20. But, for Tuesday night dinner, I'm not drinking a $20 bottle of wine.
Boy, if I drank wine, I would.
Well, one of my best friends here in Chattanooga, his name's Stan Reed. He is the wine guy here.
Uh-huh.
And he's the go-to. He works for the purveyor that covers pretty much the market here.
I'll never forget the first time I saw Chattanooga. I was driving south, heading to Florida, and came around the bend and over the mountain, and I saw this city nestled in the mountains like it was poured in. Like gravy poured into a hole in mashed potatoes.
That's us.
And it was just so beautiful.
That's a pretty accurate description.
Country is corn. Country is biscuits and gravy. All right, we'll be coming back.
ABC News, Hollywood.
Talk Radio 102.3.
Welcome back to the show, the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. On Talk Radio 102.3, are you a Malcolm Reed fan? Sure you are. We have the entire lineup of how to barbecue right rubs and sauces at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Did you see Malcolm use his classic, the barbecue rub, on a pork butt, then follow it up with his AP rub? Yeah, I saw it too. You can get them both at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Our special guest is Meathead, newly elected Barbecue Hall of Famer, coming to us live from Chicago, Illinois. Meathead, we have a question coming from our Facebook chat on the other side of the program. Our buddy Perry Collins is going to do baby back ribs for Memorial Day, and Perry cooks on a Green Mountain Grill pellet smoker. Can you kind of guide him on what kind of pellets to use and what kind of a method?
Yeah. I don't know where he is in his level of expertise and practice with ribs, but the absolute core concept in ribs is keep the temperature low. Try to keep it at 225. Ribs are, if you think of it, look at your ribs here. They're, you know, they, cover your internal organs. Their job is to protect your vital organs.
Just work the fun.
And there is some muscle in between the ribs and a lot of connective tissue. Because every time you move, left, right, up, down, you're moving those ribs. And so those ribs have got to hold together. And so the meat, the muscle in between the rib bones and on top of the rib bones can be very tough. And the only way to handle tough cuts is low temperature. When you cook, the higher the temperature, the proteins shrink. And when they shrink, they squeeze out the juices and they get tough. So, I mean, I know it's a common tendency, especially among guys. I'm going out, I'm going to cook. I'm going to crank her up and give her all she's got, Scotty. And that's a recipe for disaster. We all have to learn to dial it back. Almost everything needs to be cooked at a low temperature to start, at least. We'll get into two-zone cooking in a minute, and we'll talk later about reverse sear if time permits. But you want, on your pellet smoker, to keep the temperature down to 225, and that means baby backs will take 3 to 4 hours. St. Louis cut or spare ribs will take 5 to 6 hours, and that's okay. You got to be patient. They'll be tender. They'll be juicy. They'll be easy to chew. They won't fall off the bone. Ribs should not fall off the bone. They shouldn't be mushy like when they're boiled. You boil ribs and they get mushy and they'll fall off the bone. They should have a similar texture to a good steak, tender, but they require some chewing, not a lot. Now, the other thing about ribs that is absolutely crucial is that you make sure you don't take them off before they're done. And it's hard to tell when ribs are done. The single most important tool any barbecue cook or indoor cook can have is an instant read thermometer. And you can get a really first-rate instant read thermometer for about $20. We have a database of over 200 thermometer ratings and reviews on our website. Go pick one out. We don't sell them. You can, but we have links to where you can buy them. Test the meat in between the bones. You got to poke it several times to check and make sure you got it right. And you want it in the 190 to 200 range, and I'd like to see you take it up closer to 200 if you can. And that should get you spot on. Once it's around that range, then you can add the sauce. Don't add the sauce any earlier. Save the sauce till the end. You put the sauce on earlier, and it just blocks the smoke. Now, you asked about what kind of pellets. If I were to write a hierarchy of the importance of flavors in ribs, the number one most important thing is the quality of the meat. Get really good fresh meat if you can. Frozen ribs are good, especially if they're quick frozen, but fresh is a little better. Number two, you've got a rub. Number three, you've got temperature control. Number four, you've got the sauce. The pellets themselves have a very minimal impact on the flavor. They do impact the flavor. They give wood. But they're almost always half oak. And then if they're cherry or whatever, the rest is made out of that flavor. It's almost impossible. I've tried this to take two slabs of ribs, one cooked with apple and the other cooked with cherry, and tell the difference, especially after you've got salt and rub and sauce and everything. The differences are really minor. And when you go around the country, the guys who win competitions, they're cooking with all different kinds of woods. So I wouldn't obsess about wood, either on a pellet smoker or anywhere else. The hickory and mesquite tend to be very strong. And so I would use them judiciously. But among all the other woods, I just think you need to focus on your meat and your temperature control and your use of salt. I haven't talked about salt yet, but that's a vital component here. And how you use the salt is really important. So I would pick one wood source and just stick with it for like a year until you've got everything else nailed. Now, with a pellet smoker, you have temperature control pretty well under control. I mean, you can set it and forget it and go away and watch the game. But if you're cooking on a charcoal grill or a log-burning smoker, you've got to really work hard to maintain temperature. So,
Meathead, do you recommend
all the variables under control first?
Do you recommend wrapping the ribs in
all
foil?
Right, there's a technique called the Texas crutch, and that's where a couple of hours into the cook, the cook will often wrap the ribs or the butt or the brisket with butcher paper or aluminum foil, and cook it for another hour or so, and then unwrap it. It does ever so slightly improve the texture, not the flavor. In a competition, you have to do it because every little bit counts. There's so much, you're up against such talented cooks. In my backyard, I rarely wrap. I just, you know, you use up a lot of foil or, but there is a small, slight, noticeable difference. So if you really want to optimize, ignore what is called the 3-2-1 method. That's very popular out there. And that says just smoke roast them for 3 hours, then wrap them for 2 hours, then unwrap them and put them back in the smoke for another hour. And that's way too long in the wrap. I don't care whether it's foil or paper. No more than an hour. You put it in there for 2 hours, and it really can get mushy.
Yeah.
A lot of liquid comes out, and that's not good for the meat. And you end up with mushy ribs, not firm ribs.
Hey, let's go to line. Hang on.
More like 4-1-1 or something like that, I think works better. And we're not going to get into obsessing over whether it's foil or paper or what.
All right, let's go to line one. We got two lines open. Chris, you're on the air with Hall of Fame recipient Meathead. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. How are you doing this evening?
Good to hear from you.
Do what, sir?
He said, good to hear from you, Chris. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I don't mean to get away from the ribs because that was pretty interesting what he's talking about. I've got a group of people coming up tomorrow, and I'm going to do a pork tenderloin, and it's about a 9-pounder. And now I don't have a fancy pellet smoker or anything like that. I've got a char griller. It's just a grill with a smoker on the side that will be in direct heat. And I did one with applewood a couple weeks ago, and it turned out pretty decent, but I feel like I could do a little better on that. What is your recommendation on as far as the smoke time? And, you know, what's the best way to prepare that and cook that to really do a jam-up job on it?
Well, just as you mentioned, you got a 9-pound, and then I went, blah, blah, blah. I didn't hear what cut of meat you're cooking.
Pork tenderloin.
Oh,
pork tenderloin. Okay. Well, you're up against a badass, difficult piece of meat, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
There's almost no fat in that thing, and fat is flavor. But the good news is it's tender. Now, you need to be – how much did you say it weighed?
9 pounds.
You don't have a tenderloin. This is very important. You have a loin.
Okay.
There's a difference.
Okay.
Tenderloin and loin are two separate muscles, and there's a world of difference.
Okay.
The tenderloin is about the size of your forearm. It weighs 1 to 2 pounds at the most, and it's maybe 3 or 4 inches across, has very, very little fat, it's extremely tender, and it's great for a lot of things. The loin is the muscle that runs along the spine right from the neck to the hip. You got one. You got two. On either side, I mean, if you turn around and have somebody run their fingers along your spine, they're running their fingers along your loin muscles, or better known as the longissimus dorsi, the long dorsal muscle. And that is a really difficult muscle. That muscle plus the turkey breast are two of the toughest meats to cook. because you overcook them slightly, and you have gone from really tender, juicy meat to cardboard. And so you have got to dial in the temperature.
I pulled it. Yeah. I pulled it kind of soon, you know. It really wasn't up to the temperature, but I pulled it kind of soon, so I didn't really get the cardboard. But, I mean, it was a little bit drier than I wanted it, so I was kind of, yeah, that's where I was at with that.
Yeah, here's the secret. USDA says, I think it's 145 now. It used to be 170. They keep dropping it.
Yeah.
Do it. Don't cook it past 135. If you can, 130. 130 is medium rare steak. 130 is medium rare for for all meats. 130 is medium rare, and it is the temperature at which meat is most tender and most juicy. Now, at 130, it's going to be pink, and your guests may freak out, and that's a problem you're facing. But I'm here to tell you, if you have never had pork loin cooked to 130 or 135, you've never had pork tenderloin. It is just a different animal altogether than when it's cooked to 140 or 145. It is so tender, so succulent, so juicy. And so you've got to decide. Now, what you can do is it does taper slightly. And so the people who are not keen on pink pork, you can give them the tapered end, which is a little more cooked. Or 9 pound, that's going to be like 3 feet long. Cut it in half.
Sir?
Cut it in half. And
okay.
Cook one half to 140 or 145 for the people who are skeezy about a little pink pork. But to the rest of the crowd who is trusting you to know what you're doing, give them 130 to 135. It's perfectly safe. The concern people had about pork for years was trichinosis. Trichinosis is like a little worm. And it was common in hogs that rooted in garbage. And so they were very common in America all through the early 1900s because hogs would wander around and they were fed garbage, they root in garbage, and they get trichinosis. And you'd get it too if you undercooked the meat. There hasn't been a real case of trichinosis in pork in decades. It is a problem in bear meat, so don't undercook bear meat, but it's not a problem in pork.
Hey, Meathead, we got to take a break. Hold that thought, okay? Chris, thank you so much. Great call. I appreciate that very much. We're going to take a real quick break. We're listening to Meathead Goldwyn, newest elected member to the Barbecue Hall of Fame, coming to us from Chicago, Illinois. If ribs are your barbecue thing, and I have the thing for you, Chris Sherry's famous Texas rib jelly and Texas rib candy, plus his chicken and barbecue rubs, are now available at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ootowah. Treat your ribs with a taste of Texas. From Craig Sherry. We'll be right back with Meathead Goldwyn. Stay with us. You know, the pork tenderloin, I think, is my favorite cut of a hog.
It is
on all meat.
Yeah, it's really tender. I do a variety of things. I have a recipe on AmazingRibs.com for sweet and sour pork, like you'd get in a Chinese restaurant,
mm-hmm.
You do it on the grill, and it's just gorgeous, and I use tenderloin for that. It's a lot of fun, but again, you don't want to overcook that baby.
No, you can cook it. It's, you cook so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take any time to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I did one a couple really Sundays on a Green Mountain Grill's got a rotisserie attachment, and I did it on the rotisserie.
Wow.
I set the smoker at 325. And to put it on the rotisserie and just basted it with sprayed it basically with just butter the whole time, and it took about an hour and 15 minutes. Took it up to 135. It was delicious.
I'll bet.
It's well, way better than of the pork butt or ham or anything.
There's just so many fun cuts you can cook out there, and I'll tell you, this is one of my favorite topics. There's a lot of folks out there who say, "Well, that's not barbecue, that's grilling." Let's get past that.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's got fire, it's got smoke, it's barbecue. You know, people say, well, low and slow is barbecue. Well, just what is low? 375? Is that where you draw the line? Okay, good. So I'm cooking at 374. That's low and slow.
There's a whole bunch of guys who cook at 325.
That's high. Where do you draw the line at low and slow? And they said, well, it's big cuts of meat. Okay. So I can't barbecue with chicken. You know, there's just all these silly definitions. And lines are often crossed. A lot of folks are cooking brisket at 350 now. That's not low and slow. So brisket's not barbecue anymore.
That's right.
You know, let's just make barbecue is it comes from the word barbacoa, and the Taino Indians in the Caribbean used to cook everything from dog to iguana to snake on their barbacoa devices. Barbecue is a very big word. It's an umbrella word, and there's many styles of cooking under that.
With you, Kevin West.
All right, we'll come back in just a second.
Right now, traffic on 102.3 FM, the Talk Month. Talk Radio 102.3.
Hey, he's the king and he reigns supreme at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. Myron Mixing Rubs and Sauces set the pace for your backyard cookout. Myron is the winningest man in barbecue, and he wants to be part of your backyard team. So team up with Jack's Old South and get your Myron Mixing products at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ooltewah. Our number is 423-267-1023. 267-1023. If you got to get your Memorial Day cookout on the right path, we've got the right guy here, Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. You know, Meathead, you were way ahead. You and Stephen Reichlin you could be considered the pioneers of online barbecue sites. Both of y'all got in a long, long time ago before the internet was even a thing.
Yeah, Stephen actually is the king of the printed word. I mean, his barbecue Bible, and he's got like 12 books out. I got one. I have three or four e-books, but he's the king of printed. I think we were the first major barbecue website, but we are... I think the two leaders in barbecue online and in print. Hey, you've been mentioning Myron Mixon and Malcolm Reed and your Al's Head store. These guys are great. I mean, I know they're advertisements that you're giving and you're promoting products, but let me chime in from an unbiased source. I love their products. Myron is just the coolest guy, and so is Malcolm. If your audience has not seen Malcolm Reed's videos, he's the king of YouTube.
Oh, I know it.
Got to go watch it, and got to try his products.
How did you What made you start AmazingRibs.com? What's that conversation sitting in a bar? How does that work?
A good story, and this is true. I live in a suburb of Chicago, a small brick bungalow, middle class neighborhood. And I've always loved to grill and cook. My dad at one time owned a restaurant and I worked in there. I wrote about wine, traveled the world, ate grilled and barbecued food all over the world as I visited wineries and everything. And I learned a few techniques. And one day I'm shooting a breeze with one of my neighbors who was just retired as a butcher. And he was talking about how great his ribs are and he's cooking ribs tonight. And I said, well, you know, the technique you're talking about, yeah, I think I got a better idea than you. And we started jawing at each other, you know, and thumping our chest, you know. And so the next thing I know, it was a throwdown. And it was like, okay, our wives are going to judge us. Well, how unbiased are they?
Yeah.
But we did. We did a rib throwdown. And I went out, and this must have been the early 80s. No, mid-90s. And I went out looking for a book on ribs. And I could not find one. I mean, this is in the days when Amazon listed everything alphabetically. You know, Google was hardly known.
Yeah.
There were a couple of books on barbecue. Sublime Smoke was one. But there weren't many. And so I said, well, geez, I had just sold my wine business. Maybe that's what I ought to do. Maybe I ought to write a book about ribs. So I thought about it for a while, and I said, okay, let's start a website, and I'll kind of crowdsource it. I'll post recipes and get people to comment and suggestions and tips and tricks and different recipes, and I'll do a book on ribs. And I named the site Amazing Ribs because it started with an A. In those days, Yahoo was the number one search engine. Alta Vista and a few others. Google was unheard of. And they all listed things alphabetically. So Amazing Ribs, I'm going to be the first barbecue website on the Internet.
That's smart thinking. That is a good story.
I just started growing it, you know, with a couple of rib recipes. And then I decided, well, let's go beyond. Let's do pulled pork and brisket and chicken and hot dogs and hamburgers and steak. And it just grew. There's 2,100 pages now. So that it grew from machismo, me versus my neighbor butcher. And, of course, my wife voted him number one, and his wife voted me number one.
So y'all invented rib swapping, too. That's good.
It was a tie.
So that was, what, 2005, I think, is when you started the website? 2005?
I launched the website in 2005, yeah. By 2010, it had gotten so popular, it became a full-time job.
But I want to touch on another subject, but we don't have time before this break. So real quickly, what is the Memorial Day menu at the Goldwyn House?
I don't know. Usually there's a family gathering. My wife's Italian-American family in Chicago is huge. We all get together and there's a lot of food. We're not doing that this year. I have no specific plans. Oh, I do. We're actually going into a restaurant on Sunday for the first time in more than a year. And I don't know what we're doing Monday. We're just, you know, we're still just in hibernation mode. Mm-hmm. And I'm sad. I'm very sad.
Well, we're coming out of it. We're going to come out of it. Hey, we're going to take our last break of the day, so we'll have plenty of time to come back and talk with Meathead Goldwyn Moore here on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show on Talk Radio 102.3. All you pellet heads out there, you know your pellet smoker needs quality fuel at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. We stock Barbecuers Delight pellets that will keep your smoker running smoothly and with great flavor. Everything from mesquite, oak, hickory to cherry, you can trust Barbecuers Delight pellets to stoke your smoker with flavor and dependability. We'll be right back with Meathead. Stay with us.
Steve, we got a comment from Tom E. Hitt that I want to touch on. Meathead, an avid watcher and listener, Tommy Hitt asks, or says, we make schnitzel out of our pork loin. And the one thing I wanted to focus on is, Tom, go to AmazingRibs.com and look up German potato salad and follow Meathead's recipe and combine that with your schnitzel. And you will be the hit of that family party. That German potato salad is off the hook.
I love, you know, I'm a little overweight, and I'm told to watch my carbs. But I could live on potatoes alone. And I love potato salads every way, shape, and form. And I've got maybe six different potato salad recipes. But the German potato salad, hey, there's bacon in it, for crying out loud. And if you want, there can be sausage in it.
The one thing I would say, Meathead, is...
And it's usually served warm. It is a very good recipe. I have a lot of favorite recipes on that website, and we really work hard to fine-tune them. I've got a staff of good people. I mean, Clint Cantwell used to run the Kingsford website, David Joachim, and we test recipes thoroughly. So you can trust them.
Yeah, and then just watch, you know, add your potato as you go. Add, you know, where it says 3 pounds or 4 pounds. Add a couple and then add it because you want a good coverage and coating on that potato, and sometimes it'll get dry if you have not enough moisture in it. So you can always add, you can't subtract.
There you go. Same thing with salt. You can always add salt. You can't take it out.
Yes, sir.
Go easy on the salt. But don't forget it. It's essential.
Everybody, I was at a school with Donnie Bray. Everybody in the school was saying, what's the secret, Donnie? You know, what's your secret? What's your secret? He goes, we'll get to it. He goes, saying, what's your secret ingredient? So at the time in the school, when he comes to it, he goes, all right, I'm going to give you the secret ingredient. Everybody get your pens and pencils out. He holds up a salt shaker. He goes, that's it. That's the secret ingredient to barbecue, salt.
Used properly.
Mm-hmm. Salt.
It's all cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, have we got enough time for me to do a little salt talk?
We will have, when we come back, we'll probably have 6 minutes. So we can do that.
I'll pack it in.
All right, good. That sounds good. Because I am a salt fanatic.
Yeah, you got to use it, and you got to use it right.
There ain't nothing about salt I don't like. All kinds of salt, too.
There's definitely a misuse of it if you put too much or not enough.
Well, have I got time to get started, or you want me to spend my time?
No, hold on just a second. We'll go live. We'll do it on a radio station.
Yeah, that's
on
where
the radio side.
Most of the listeners, backyard people, that's very important stuff.
The hell was that?
Man, it's been great, Meathead.
Thanks.
Wish we had a 2-hour.
I'm glad we didn't get too deep into sous vide. I mean, I love sous vide, but the more I work with it, the more limited the less I use it. I still use it, but not as much as I used to. And, you know, it's just another tool.
All right, we'll be coming back with some salt talk.
I haven't used sous vide in over a year.
Joe, how many minutes will we have, you think, coming back?
Oh, I know Steve's into sous vide.
Online and on the app.
Not me.
Talk Radio 102.3 WGOW FM.
Talk Radio 102.3 FM. The Talk Monster.
Green Mountain Grills are the pellet smoker of choice for Big Mo, Jim Elzer, Sterling Smith, and dozens of other professional barbecue competitors. Come by the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply tomorrow. Tomorrow, Saturday. I'll be there all day. Under the big tent and see the Green Mountain Grills in action. We're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have chicken wings for lunch. So come on by at lunch and you can see the Green Mountain Grill in action at the Midnight Oil and Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ultawa. Joe, how many minutes we got left? We're going to talk about something really important. We got 5 minutes, Meathead. Let's talk about salt.
Let me go.
My favorite spice.
Salt is different than any other spice on your spice rack. Salt is just two tiny little molecules, sodium and chloride. And when they get wet on the surface of meat, they get wet, they get electrical charges. And because they're just two little, two little atoms, and they can penetrate deep into the meat. And when they get down in there, they can alter the structure of protein that helps the protein hold on to moisture. And the cool thing about salt is it amplifies the natural flavor of whatever you sprinkle it on without altering it. Now, garlic, for example, alters the flavor. It gives it a garlicky flavor. Black pepper gives it a pepper flavor. Garlic, pepper, sugar, paprika, these are all huge molecules, and they can't penetrate past the surface. Most sugars are at least 23 atoms. They just cannot get past the tiny little cracks, crevices, and pores in the surface. And all you got to do is take a pork loin or a turkey breast and sprinkle every goddamn spice on the spice rack that you have. Excuse my language.
$0.07.
Cook it up and take a sample from the center, and you cannot taste any of those spices. They cannot get past the surface. Salt can. So salt is the most important thing you can add to meat. And if you ever watch cooking competitions on TV, they'll often talk about over-seasoned, you under-seasoned. When they're talking about seasoning, they're talking salt. So you really need to learn how to use salt. And here's your rough thumbnail estimation. We use Morton kosher salt in everything just because we want to be standard, not because they paid us. And Morton's kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon per pound of meat. Now, if you use table salt, it's more concentrated than Morton's kosher salt, so you use 1/4 teaspoon per pound of meat. But we've got all this on AmazingRibs.com, but that's your basic ratio. Now, you can up it or decrease it according to your own taste, but you need to give it time to penetrate. It takes several hours for it to go 2, 3, 4 inches deep. The other stuff, the rubs, the flavors, you sprinkle it on, and they're just going to sit on the surface. So it doesn't matter when you add all the rest of the seasonings. They can go on just before you start cooking because they're going nowhere. And you've just got to keep – it's like the gas and the brake on your car. that you can control the speed of your car with the brake and the gas, but they're separate. And the same thing with salt and the spices. They can control flavor and everything, but they're separate. Treat them separately if you can. Now, if you buy a rub, it almost always has salt in it. So get that thing on there early, so the salt has a chance to penetrate.
All right, we had 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. What is MSG then?
MSG, it's a compound that has a lot of flavor-enhancing capabilities.
Does it have salt in it?
A lot of people, pardon?
Does it have salt?
It can. It doesn't normally. A lot of people think that it's some sort of hazardous compound, but it is natural. Cheetos are full of a form of MSG. Doritos. It's all around us. A lot of people freak out about Chinese food because they think it's got MSG and it's going to give them headaches. If that's the case, why don't millions of people in China have headaches? There's a lot to write about, and that's a too long a subject.
Yeah.
I have written about it on AmazingRibs.com. Go there, use the search engine, and you can read about the research. But if you are curious and you want to experiment, play with adding MSG to your food. It can really amp it up.
Is that accent? Is that what accent is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought so.
And it amplifies flavor. It really does. It's like, you know, turning it up to 11.
Meathead, thank you so much for joining us here on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show. You are a prince, and it was so kind of you to give us your time. The newest elected member to the Barbecue Hall of Fame, and that is, in our world, that's a big deal. And I know you're very proud to have that, and I know you will handle that very responsibly. Meathead, you understand the responsibility that comes now with being a member of the Hall of Fame. And you're just a little cut above everybody now. You've got the crown.
Wikipedia.
That's right. Everybody, next week, don't forget, we're going to tune in. We're going to be talking about barbecue sides and desserts. And we're hoping to have another special guest with us. I'm working on that right now. So, Christy Vanover, if you're listening, that's what I keep calling you about, so make sure you call me back. Meathead, you can find him at AmazingRibs.com, and go there. And if you have any kind of question about barbecue, that's where you get it answered. And we're going to be taking off. Meathead, if you'll hang around for a little Facebook, post opportunity, we're going to say goodbye to the radio show. Cowboy Joe, thank you so much. And don't forget, tune in next Friday, everybody. And on this Friday night here in Chattanooga, I bid you farewell, good night, and good luck.
Thanks, Joe.
Cowboy.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, I bought some accent because I was reading, I read where somewhere, Meathead, that Tuffy Stone, and now he's not the only person, I'm sure, they add MSG to some of the rubs.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not uncommon.
Okay.
It is harmless, and it can amplify flavor. And when you're competing, remember, there's thousands of dollars on the line. Every inch you can get, every edge you can get. So MSG is absolutely one. The Texas Crutch, we talked about that. Got to do it. I mean, I've seen competition cooks who put one rub on the top of a slab of ribs and another rub on the underside of the slab of the ribs because the tongue touches the underside and the roof of the mouth touches the upper side. Now, that is diabolical. I mean, you know, competition, you got to pull out all the stops.
But, you know, I was surprised that the MSG right out of the accent bottle, it did not have a very bold or a very the taste was not anything special.
No, it doesn't have any distinctive.
Yeah, it wasn't like salt. Salt is way better than MSG.
What happens is it gets into the meat and modifies the proteins ever so slightly. And MSG is a natural component, or glutamates, which is what is at the core of MSG. Glutamates are in tomatoes, mushrooms, Doritos. Glutamates are common naturally in many foods, like tomatoes and mushrooms, and then added to a lot of other foods.
So, Meathead, what does adding MSG, like if I'm doing a brisket and I sprinkle MSG on top of this brisket, what will that do to that brisket?
Well, the easy answer, as I say, it amplifies flavor. The easy answer is to either cook a whole brisket or break it into two parts and sprinkle MSG on one part and not on the other and do side-by-side comparison. What it should do is give the part that you have seasoned with MSG a slightly, not greatly, modified, amplified meatiness and richness and depth and complexity. And it's not huge, but it's there, and you notice it.
I wonder if injections, I've never read the label on the different injections that I carry. Do they have MSG in them?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some of them do.
Okay.
Most of them use phosphates, too, which are moisture retention. If you read the labels of some of the ingredients, absolutely, there's glutamate. You might not see MSG. You might see glutamates or another word for it, but it's in there.
But every little bit makes a difference when you're talking about competition.
I'm not talking about competition. I'm talking about backyard stuff.
Even backyard. I mean, every little bit.
Backyard, if you got company coming over and you want to knock them out, you want to show them how great a cook you are, a little MSG will help you get there.
Because when people come in the store, they'll pick up a rub and they'll read the ingredients and they'll say, oh, it's got MSG, and they put it down.
Mm-hmm.
They won't eat it. They won't buy it.
This is an interesting story, and I've told this story on AmazingRibs.com. It came about in the 1800s, I believe it was, when somebody wrote that MSG was something of concern. And that story multiplied, and it's been disproven. I mean, it was hack science. It was not well researched. But you know how it is in this world, even before the internet. A lie travels around the world three times before the truth gets out of the starting gate. And it has been thoroughly, effectively debunked numerous times, but there's just an awful lot of people who think MSG. I don't want to get too deep into this philosophical discussion about what's in your food. This whole discussion, this goes into organic food and how people feel that organic food is significantly improved over other kinds of food. And there's a lot of things one can, that's a complex discussion. A lot of tests have shown there's zero difference in flavor. There can be a minor difference in pesticides,
mm-hmm.
If they've been used. Now,
and the biggest difference is a 75-cent orange and a $7 orange.
Exactly.
That's the biggest difference.
Exactly. And the price of the food, and also this extends all the way to charcoal. People burn lump charcoal because they believe it's more natural. That briquettes are poisonous.
Yeah.
That's another subject we could talk about in depth. Here's my thoughts on this subject. Worrying about what you eat will kill you faster than anything you eat.
That's good advice.
Hamburgers, we know, are full of fat. But just don't eat hamburgers every day. Ribs are full of fat. Just don't eat ribs every day. We know that some people handle fat differently than others. There's very good research that shows that fat is not the devil as a lot of people thought it was for some people. For other people, it is. It's poisonous.
I can't handle bread anymore. I cannot handle bread. If I have bread, I'm not kidding, I get... I get so sleepy. I can't. I can work if I have a sandwich or like something. I get so sleepy I almost can't function.
Well, I'm sorry for you.
But if I go through the day and don't have bread, I'm fine.
How about that?
Isn't that weird?
Hence the meatloaf.
Yeah, well,
instead
I love
of a hamburger.
I love smoke. He's kidding me about my love of smoked meatloaf.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it.
You know, the science, dietary science, is probably the least advanced of the sciences. I mean, we know physics can be very complex but very precise, chemistry, biology. But dietary science, you can't take 100 people and say you eat steak twice a week and the other 100 people say you eat it once every 2 weeks and then wait 20 years and see how many people
right.
die. You can't do that. So they depend on diaries. People write down what they've eaten, and then they look at and say, well, God, you know, the people who ate more steak died more often. But we don't know if that's the real, you know, then that there's this whole saying, correlation isn't causation. We know, for example, the more TV you eat, the more TV you watch, the more likely you'll be obese. So what is the conclusion? Well, there must be radiation coming off the TV that makes you fat, right?
Right.
No.
Of course.
See, that's
of course.
That's why they call it practicing medicine.
So the TV must be causing obesity. Well, obviously, that's not the case. Finding correlation doesn't mean causation, and that's so important. And dietary science is full of conclusions that are based on correlation. So you know, I think your mom had it right. Eat a little bit of everything, not too much of anything.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, you can have a pepperoni pizza every now and then. Just don't eat it every night. You can have French fries every now and then. Just don't eat them every afternoon. You can eat burgers every now and then. Just don't eat them every day. You know.
I can't eat bread anymore, though.
Balance it.
I fall asleep.
That's too bad.
I know, and I love bread.
I
love
adore
it.
Bread. Every
I love
way,
it.
Shape, and portion.
I like it.
And the same thing for pasta and potatoes, which are all, like, all processed carbs.
Mm-hmm.
We know are easily converted to sugar.
I have had to replace the bread that I eat during the day at work. Well, I buy these wraps, those tortillas. And I get the whole wheat ones, and I can eat those, and it doesn't affect me one bit.
Well, you know, that diet.
But they're pretty good, too.
Diet is, I think, like life, too, though. You have to balance things. You know, you have to balance your diet, you have to balance your emotions, and you have to balance your communication with others. And that's what leads to having a healthy life in general.
You don't speak often, but when you do, you speak truth.
That's because Steve's got a muzzle on me.
Yeah, he don't pay for the show either. That's why he don't talk a lot. Meathead, we got to roll, man.
Appreciate you.
You were great. I sure appreciate you.
Great. Have fun this weekend.
You too. And congratulations. Congratulations to you. I'm so happy for you. I think it's a great thing.
Well deserved, Meathead.
Keep it up, and maybe you'll get in there too.
No.
Some of the best content on the internet, y'all. Really. Amazing Ribs is a fantastic site.
Meathead, thanks so much, man. We'll see you. Take care.
Good night, everybody, and have a happy holiday.
You too. Hug a veteran.